Welcome to the Dynasty Think Tank. I am Ted Parsons, he is Jordan McNamara, and we share our research, experience, and acumen to build Dynasty winners and unlock ceiling outcomes. Now is the time to seek elite results. We've got an extension in the works. One of the big thoughts for the week is Devonta Smith. A new deal, extending him out for the foreseeable future there with the Philadelphia Eagles. They're keeping their own A.J. Brown locked in there for now. Jordan, what are your thoughts on Devonta Smith? He's always been the Robin to a Batman, and now he's locking into that role for longer period of time where you thought with, you know, expanding prices, are the Eagles going to be able to keep their big core together at now? The answer is yes.
Yeah, going to keep it together, right? You always kind of wondered how this was going to fit. We haven't seen really a quarterback with two high-priced wide receivers, really, you know, all of them being extension windows. So that's interesting. I do wonder after this year what this means about A.J. Brown's contract. His cap hit balloons to $26.5 million in 2025 and then up to $41.5 in 2026. I look at that through the lens of like experiencing the Stephon Diggs experience of the past, I don't know, 18 months, where you had what appeared like a disgruntled wide receiver coming out of the 2022 season. And then 2023, you know, kind of went off the rails in terms of his disgruntledness, right? AJ Brown kind of feels like if you told me a year from now, like AJ Brown got traded, like this beginning of that 18 month stretch would look very similar to, you know, it seemed like him and Hurts were on the outs or there was some issue between the two of them, right? If that kind of carried over, right, that would sort of give them an off ramp to go a different route. So I do kind of wonder, you know, with paying a quarterback and paying two wide receivers, right? Devonta Smith's extension will kick in to a higher number in coming years. But I do kind of look at this through that lens and wonder, you know, what is coming for AJ? What's the next 12 months bring for AJ Brown? Because it doesn't seem like it feels very Diggsian in the vibes around that offense right now.
Yeah. And Devonta Smith, I think the theme so far has been, you know, the ceiling is limited despite being on a good offense, but it's almost a Jalen Waddle type situation, right? Where he's really good, but he's not as good as the other guy that's there. And I do, you know, those days of AJ Brown was largely healthy this past year and Devonta Smith paid a little bit of a price, wide receiver 21 and adjusted points per game. But we could see that shoot up in terms of market value. Right now he's wide receiver 15 to 20. And that would boost up obviously with an AJ Brown departure in some form or fashion in you know, in the next 12 to 15 months. And you know, Smith kind of locking in there where there's more ceiling. It feels like he's kind of priced near his floor in terms of what his production this year or coexisting with AJ Brown is going to be. So, you know, I think he's very fairly priced. And I also think that there's a little bit of a ceiling, you know, not someone that's going to get to the top three to five of the position I ever project, but someone that I could see, you know, there's a perfect world coming in the next 12 to 18 months that has him, you know, closer to the top 10 to 12 than he is today.
You mentioned Waddle. Like, I think those two guys will be forever linked, coming from the same school, coming from, you know, the same draft class, right? Both coming from, it was top 10 picks in that class. I find it interesting that, like, I just think Waddle has a higher ceiling, right? Just from an efficiency perspective. Like, I can see Waddle having something approaching a top five season. I don't know if Devonta Smith ever gets there, right? Which I think explains a little bit of the difference in their treatment in the dynasty marketplace. And, you know, Devonta Smith fits in with Michael Pittman, right? Which seems very like appropriate in terms of like how I kind of see them in dynasty, where I think Waddle is, I don't know if another tier up. Like, you know, it's a, they're relatively close in terms of their,
I have them in different tiers, just to say, just because, I mean, we've seen elite stuff from Jalen Waddle, even if it hasn't translated all the way to being an elite wide receiver one.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tyreek Hill a little bit older. He's been doing it with, in my opinion, a quarterback that we probably have a couple more questions about than Jalen Hurts. We have questions about both, but I do think it's really interesting that, like you said, similar schools, similar coming out with pedigree, but Waddle has just shown a heck of a lot more when you look at, on a per route basis, where it's not like he's been dealing with a great situation either, when you look at level of competition for targets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other wide receiver news, wide receiver centric here at the top of the show. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and guy saying, "What am I doing in this room?" Courtland Sutton, all of them not reporting. And we talked about this on an annual basis. This is the very beginning stages of everything. Jefferson, Lamb, obviously a lot more on the line in terms of future contracts, money this year, compared to Courtland Sutton, who's not happy and doesn't have, again, not really happy with what his future outlook is there for Denver, and Jerry Jeudy already being gone. So those three guys, where are they kind of on the concern scale for you, and very early stages, but missing games, or where do you think this leads with those three wide receivers?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess the only surprising one is that like Courtland Sutton's holding out for I kind of wonder like what goes through Courtland Sutton's mind when he's like, yeah, I'm going to hold out for more money. I think he's been a letdown basically his entire career. It seems like they've been trying to, or really like the second contract, like he got paid, so that's fine. But like he hasn't ever lived up to what I think a lot of people, at least maybe even it was more the Devy community thought of him. Right, like he kind of went underdrafted, what I think a lot of that
Well, no,
market
yeah,
would
that
have
year
thought.
two, he finished in the wide receiver 25 to 30 range in adjusted points per game, and that was the year. And he's going to be a common theme where we say, the signs in year one or year two, especially year two, let's say, taking a step forward, taking another step forward to greatness is the leap that many guys, like, we get over our skis in Dynasty about, and the assumptive nature that you're going to continue progressing as the talent coming into the NFL, getting all the way to alpha status and demanding the ball and running a passing game. That is a real high shelf to get up to. And just to say there's four or five guys every year entering year two or year three that are going to get there is complete folly.
Yeah, it's funny because he's an 80th percentile guy, 80th career percentile in yards per route run, in yards per
Good.
target, like in terms of
Good.
PFF grade, like all those things. Like it's very, he's, and I just don't think that's difference making from a fantasy perspective. And like,
Apex.
I just, I, it's, you know, it's, I just, I find his case for like, oh, I'm underpaid or aggrieved. I find his case to be a little bit of a leap too far that I can't take. I actually found it. I was doing some research today. Do you want to know the last Michael Thomas? Sorry, the last Sean Payton wide receiver not named Michael Thomas to have 70 receptions in a season?
Oh, wow. 70 receptions. I think I recall either seeing this, or is it like 2016 or something?
I'll give you a hint. Barack Obama was the president.
Wow. I don't even
Yeah.
have a guess. Wow.
Brandon Cooks.
Oh, wow. Mr. Brandon Cooks there.
Brandon Cooks.
How many teams ago for Brandon Cooks?
It's a lot. It's yeah, more, it's
Crazy.
actually more teams than presidential than
Right.
presidents in that time. So he's actually beaten the presidential index in that. But
Sean
yeah.
Payton whisperer though, we just have this, I think this year, or like in general, this is almost like, people cool on Belichick post Brady, right? And I wonder, Sean Payton, you start digging deeper, and the more data points we have of, well, when he doesn't have Drew Brees, what is life like? And I think it's just tough. I mean, this is a good thing to say. If you don't have an elite team around a passable quarterback, or if you don't have a quarterback, man, good luck in terms of just being a successful coach, because you just don't have the pieces. That's just a tough life to live in general. But Sutton plus, you're talking wide receivers with Sean Payton, quarterbacks with Sean Payton. I think it's going to be a very telling draft, telling year, and maybe another frustrating one for Denver.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. The other two guys don't really surprise me. Like it'll just be interesting to see who gets paid first, right? And Jefferson or Lamb, and like what that says for the other person's pay scale. Amon-Ra St. Brown's probably due to get paid as well. So, all those, like that whole class, like those receivers, like it's time to pay the bill. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how that all unfolds. You do hope that Jefferson's like paid and like it's a stable situation, because that for a rookie quarterback could be an excellent place to come into.
Yep. Yeah, I'm watching that situation like a hawk, as you just mentioned. And finally, in our opening segment here, and it's a little tongue in cheek, but you know what? We're going to monitor this depth chart very closely for the draft, as well as any moves they make, which is the Dallas running back situation. And it comes in here before our recording session, thankfully here on Tuesday. But Royce Freeman is joining the Cowboys depth chart. He's bounced around a little bit, but again, I talked about a guy that flamed out early in his career, but found a niche, found some spots with the Rams and otherwise in recent stops. He goes and joins Rico Dowdle. You've got Malik Davis, Deuce Vaughn, Snoop Connor. Again, it's a depth chart of basically, you know, running back twos and threes on NFL circles that's awaiting a potential running back one infusion here, but Royce Freeman's going to have a chip and a chair and a chance to be relevant for us this year, which is about all you can ask.
Probably good news for Dowdle too, right? You bring in Royce Freeman, you put them together, and that probably means, hey, we're not going to probably double dip the position. That probably means that Dowdle, even if they take a Jonathan Brooks or, someone on day two, right? That still probably leaves Dowdle with the ability to win a running back two job, right? And
Yep.
so I think, from the perspective of it could be worse for Rico Dowdle, like it certainly could be. This isn't Leonard Fournette. Like, it's not someone that you could legitimately come in and say this person's gonna kind of come in and make Dowdle irrelevant. So that was really the first thing that I when I saw this, I was like, oh, okay, good news for Rico Dowdle. Like, that was literally my reaction, which tells you something about how we think of the world.
Kind of like the Alexander Mattison signing with the Raiders,
Yeah,
right? That
exactly.
like that's good news for Zamir White because it's not probably someone that's going to challenge him,
Right.
and the challenge is still going to be the NFL draft. But at least it means from the veteran front, you know, you can sigh a relief, you know, that it was not anything more severe. And again, for the Cowboys, this probably does mean though, you know, in a deep requisite league where you do have Royce Freeman, you're probably going to want to hang on to him just to see how things go, where it was trending towards being a pretty easy rookie time cut.
Yeah. What would you put on the percentage chance that they draft someone in the top 100 picks the running back position?
Well, based on mock drafts, it seems like they give someone to him every single draft.
Right.
So I would say it's pretty high. I want to play out the like I am more interested, like obviously, you know, the square play is the, you know, seeing Jonathan Brooks, local kid, end up going there in round two is like the most spot on easy button to do a mock draft if you go beyond one round. But what I will say is I want to see the chaos theory if they wait till day three, because they
Yeah.
would get a boost and most likely, you know, from our point of view, they would boost that running back too much. The day three running back getting used to a high degree, especially in a class with a lot of pedigree option that we expect in super flex drafts, it would be very interesting to see how high the Dallas landing spot could push them without strong pedigree. Because you've also mentioned, you know, we got to be careful of round three too. So, you know, a round three, 87 overall pick for the Cowboys is one that you got to make sure you have your pedigree in check, because that's one that can also bite you if you push them way high in the draft. And frankly, it's situational, not so much with saying that the pedigree deserves it.
Yeah, I agree with all that.
All right. Did I get enough? We actually got a submission. Again, if you guys have submissions, obviously it needs to be a big boy trade for a big boy dynasty asset. We got two for Josh Allen. So good on listener Keith getting out there, moving and shaking, and getting two more shares of Josh Allen in his portfolio. So that's a good week of work there. So well done, Keith. So Josh Allen, he said, I think his message was basically like, yeah, I just wanted to pass along. Josh Allen is more accessible than he was a little while ago, pre Stefon Diggs trade and other points in the calendar. So he ended up trading the first one here. We've got 4 point passing touchdowns. It's Anthony Richardson, 107, and Michael Pittman for Josh Allen.
Yeah, this one's easily Allen. I mean, you're going unproven quarterback, right? Non-elite assets and 107 and Pittman, and you're combining them all together and getting the apex of the quarterback position, right? I mean, I think that's a pretty easy one for me. Years ago, I might have been on the other side of this, right? I might have been like, oh, I can reset the clock. I can get a young quarterback. Oh, I'm a little concerned about some of the situation around Allen. Like, ooh, I get Pittman. Like, I got a good, developmental potential wide receiver one, like who's been really successful to date. Like, oh, he could take a step forward and all these. Like, I would have talked myself into that sort of arc for being on the other side of this trade. But like, I think like when you look at this, right, the odds for Allen are just so much better than the odds for Richardson, and the other pieces just don't move the needle that much. So yeah, give me Allen pretty comfortably in this one.
And even if you play out scenarios where Anthony Richardson is as good as we saw, sort of the per game, per drive sort of data points last year, you say, what if he is some version of younger career Cam Newton? What if he is, a budding Josh Allen? The what you get for the risk that he's not that is 107, which is meaningful in Superflex. Don't want to downplay that. But Michael Pittman, which honestly to me doesn't move the needle that much. And that's just not enough interest and dividends to be added on to say, I'm taking all the risk on that he doesn't become that, or he doesn't. The main thing I would say is he doesn't sustain that. I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Richardson puts up a top 3 to 5 fantasy season. That wouldn't surprise me at all. What would surprise me is if he strings it together and he becomes a Josh Allen-like career arc, which is unbelievably valuable and sustaining from Josh Allen. So that's the real concern here. The other deal made, and this is 1.5 for tight end premium, so it comes into play maybe a little bit with a pick. He traded Joe Burrow, 105, 305, Sam Darnold, Daniel Bellinger, a lot of window dressing there, but essentially Burrow and 105 for Josh
I would have loved to have seen the negotiations on that, on this deal.
Allen.
Like, how did you get to this point where you're like, okay, yeah, throw in Bellinger.
I
Like,
want Payne Durham. No, Daniel Bellinger.
right. Like, how do we get like is Darnold available? Like, I just would love to have seen like the historical,
Argued down
transaction arc
from
of
Geno
that.
Smith to Sam Darnold.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just love to have seen that. This is one where, and I would love to see the person's rationale for trading Josh Allen in this, right? Because like, what is it that, like, how did Bellinger and Darnold get in this deal? And like, how did that make it worth doing, right? Like, I try to
Because
get
if it's
into
a
this,
last
like,
negotiation point, like one thing we always say in negotiations, I mean, in a deal like this, like again, we're dealing with Keith, who he was the one that gave 305, gave Sam Darnold, gave Daniel Bellinger. And those are the types of things like ask for, like, if you're on the other side of it, when you're negotiating and compromising and sending offers back and forth, the add-ons should be requisite and matching to the deal. So adding Sam Darnold is a deal where it's like, I'm undecided, but it's like it's a deal where the best player in the deal might be like Mike Evans, right? Like it's a whole different scope. If you're dealing with Josh Allen, like the add-ons might be first round picks or equivalency there that thereof, not third round or throw-in types.
Yeah, this deal feels like majoring in the minor is kind of how I looked
Love
at
that.
this. And I just think like, because I think the deal really stops at Burrow and 105 for Allen. Like,
Right.
I
You're like,
just
what if Daniel, what if one thought in this deal was, oh, what if Darren Waller retires?
Right, yeah,
And
that's probably true. That's probably
it's,
you're
I know,
probably
but it's
right.
1.5 and it's Daniel Bellinger. Let's keep all this in scope.
I
Like,
agree. Yeah, I don't like I you're like I you know, we've talked about Burrow a lot. We obviously talk about Josh Allen a lot. I just don't know if you go into that 105 range, and again, on the premium side this week, we're talking rookie, we're going to talk a lot about these sorts of situations with these picks. You're looking at a first round wide receiver, you're looking at a first round quarterback probably in that range, which is fine. Like, those are good assets, but you're getting coin flips and Burrow, who we have ceiling questions for, with in exchange for the best player in the format, right? Like, that's like, you have to, when you're making a deal, like, say that out loud to yourself. And I think one of the things that's made me a better dynasty player has been when I see a pick, right? I don't think about player. I don't think about, well, it could be this person or that person or whatever. I just think about what's the what am I getting? Right. What am I getting? I am getting a first round wide receiver. I'm getting a top 10 quarterback. I'm getting, that's what I'm getting. Right. And then I can sort of think about that in terms of odds, right? Thinking in terms of bets is a phrase that we use a lot, right? This is one of those things where I think if you look at that number and that pick, you start thinking about what that actually represents. Not the person's name, but the actual type of asset. And you realize it's much more of a coin flip scenario, and you just don't have that high of a ceiling, I don't think, in Burrow. And that's how I kind of come to this. But again, I think that's a good example of like probably a change that I've made in my dynasty process over the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
Problem is, what do we say with 105? Like, you can use that as, the reason you hold that back, no matter what you think about it, is to get a big deal for a quarterback done.
Right.
So if you pivoted back to Burrow, the end game best case with 105 is to what? Go out in the marketplace and try to hunt a stud quarterback. Now, you could draft a profile and cross your fingers and hope, or hope that that player creates a window, like we've seen with Anthony Richardson, like we've seen with CJ Stroud, that offers a market window to get a bigger deal done. But it's also a risk that you don't find that window. So you're kind of moving backwards. And I would assume that, I mean, and the idea of depth, right? If you have like, there's a team that, trade, the co-owner and I, we traded away our QB2. Well, and it makes it a whole lot easier when you have Patrick Mahomes. And so right now we have no QB2, like no week one locked in QB2, but it's like, well, we have Mahomes. So it's super flex and we'll be okay. Like we'll be okay. Like that's a fungible spot unless you're moving way up. Like unless you have a certain amount of QB in that spot, who cares to some degree? And it's like, so, but it seems like they took the different approach of like, ooh, I'm light at quarterback. Let me get Burrow. Okay, now I got 105. I'm going to get another quarterback. I'm going to fix the position when I don't think you have to sit there if you have Josh Allen or Mahomes or these types, and you don't have to freak out saying I'm light at quarterback. You're not light at quarterback. You have one of the best ones. So you don't have to worry about that second guy because you can literally trade a second round rookie pick for Geno Smith or maybe even a third for somebody like that's something you could do in season or week six if you're like, still struggling, still trying to figure this out. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers would cost what? Kirk Cousins would cost what with a team falling out of it. So, I want to go over a couple, actually, Brandon Ayuk. Let's cover him with a couple other non-did I get enough trades here. So, in terms of Brandon Ayuk, could he be on the move? And the range of outcomes, obviously with staying with the 49ers, going into another team via trade during the draft, we've got Michael Pittman and a second this year for Brandon Ayuk.
Man, this is funny because Ayuk, I think Ayuk the player is better than Ayuk the fantasy asset than Ayuk the dynasty player, right? And I think that that's part of the problem when you're facing some uncertainty right now is he's probably better. From a target perspective, right, in terms of just getting targets, which is the lifeblood of, to borrow Rotoviz's phrase, it's the lifeblood of fantasy scoring for wide receivers. He's probably going to increase that if he gets traded, is I think the general assumption. And, there's obviously that in the marketplace that he is, a potential trade candidate. So I think this presents a really interesting and tough situation to kind of value because you kind of have to put the odds on that, right? Like, how likely is it that he gets traded and goes to a place where he gets more targets, right? I think the people are thinking the Bills and a lot of different places. I think Brandon Ayuk is a better receiver in the NFL than he is a fantasy receiver in San Francisco. So that makes this tough because if he stays put in San Francisco, I don't think that Pittman's like that much different from him from a fantasy scoring perspective, even though I think Ayuk's a better player. Right. So that's kind of and again, is the second basically the speculative part of that, right? And that's almost what I view this as, right? That second is basically paying for the hope that you get him traded, right? That's kind of how I view this deal. I don't know what if you have thoughts on that, but I think it's really complicated by this potential trade.
Yeah, I think this spectrum makes it messy, because 49ers good situation in terms of efficiency, not a good situation in terms of predictable high volume targets that we think that Ayuk deserves. He's warranted. He's a good enough player to collect those. And so to me, not being a huge Pittman fan, I think also the Colts are a situation where they could add a dynamic pass catching weapon here in this draft. So the second for me is a good line, because a second I would do it, a first I wouldn't, in terms of a deal like this. So for me, it's pretty easily Ayuk here. And we actually have the flip of this in the other trade, which is now we're using Ayuk to go up, but it, with a tangible strong pick here. So the other one is Brandon Ayuk and a 25 first, and we're going leveling up to Puka Nacua. So this is the opposite. You're almost using Ayuk in the Michael Pittman role. So what do you think about this one? And does this change the dynamic in your view on risk and potential team and situation change?
Yeah, so as we were kind of talking about that last trade, and you were talking about it, I went and looked up at Fantasy Calc, and Brandon Ayuk is 38th overall. So let's call that early third. Let's just call that 302 for a second. Pittman's early fourth. Let's call that 404 for a second. So 404 and a second for 302 is the startup equivalency there. Again, you'd probably move those players depending on your personal preferences there, but that's the currency exchange. Then you do this one, and it's what 30. I'm sorry, that's actually yeah, that's into the third round for let's see here. That's actually in the fourth round for Ayuk, yeah, where he's at, and then it's an early second for Nacua. It's a place where I don't love trading first round picks.
Well, and for
Like
that, right? If you're trading into the second for a quarterback that was lagging a
yeah,
little bit,
right.
you would do a deal like that, but
Yeah. Yeah, I actually misspoke. I'm sorry. It was
yeah.
Ayuk's 402 and Pittman's 504. I got my numbers transposed.
Well,
And
12
then
math is hard.
12 math is hard. And yeah, I'm trying to write two at the same time, and it's coming out backwards. It's not great, Bob. Not great. So you're basically trading like a fourth round pick for a late second round pick. Yeah, a fourth rounder and a first for a late second. I think I like Nacua better than Brandon Ayuk. But again, like if Ayuk got traded, like that's an interesting part. I think I would take the Ayuk side of this just because like I would take the Ayuk side of this because I think the first is pretty valuable. I think you're probably arbing between receivers, but you're giving yourself a lot of outs in this deal is kind of how I'd view this one. Even though I do like Puka better than Ayuk.
Yeah, and I think the also another idea is Ayuk gives you a lot of leverage to, if he does get traded, I think you or let's say you just don't like what's going on, just because he's a mid-career guy, I think you will have a lot of options. Like, could you go after Tyreek Hill? You know, if you want to really shoot ceiling, in the shorter term, and you still have that first round pick. So I think the explorations you can make early in the season by just being patient, even if he gets traded, he gets traded to the Giants. You know, he gets traded, like let's say it's a big downgrade at quarterback or just situation with the offense, but you're like, hey, targets through the moon. So targets go up, by 20 or 30 for the season. But you're like, this is not a good situation. Like he's just not gonna score. He's gonna be like Deontay Johnson, and just of like, oh, like he's getting targets and it just should be a little better than it is. Just based on the situation here or something like that. Like, so I would stay patient with that. And like you were saying, I mean, I still think in an existing league, you did it from the startup lens, and I wouldn't do it obviously within the startup lens, but I think also in an existing league, the first round pick is really, we talk about it all the time, it's a weapon, and you got to yield it. You only get so many first round pick weapons. And if you already spent yours in 2024 and now you're shifting to 2025 here, you kind of want to hold that. Like, how good are you at quarterback? How good are you? I mean, I know you're making an upgrade at wide receiver, but you might be able to make a bigger splash and a more predictable splash when you get to the season, and someone falling out of the race is going to want that pick. So you might have a lot. You might be able to get something like this plus something that helps you at quarterback, or something that really helps you, a situational running back that is just white hot, like a Kieran Williams situation that comes out of nowhere. So just hold that back a little bit, because spending it this early, spending it 12 months before it's going to come due, is, again, it's not a death knell, but you just got to be very careful. And we see so many people spend it in weird ways, positional value wise and team building wise. Would is there like if this was going to Ja'Marr Chase, does that make a difference for you? Or Amon-Ra St. Brown, or just keep saying names? I mean,
Yeah, if it was Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think if it went to that tier,
okay.
I'd feel more apt to do it, I think. And it also it this is a conversation we'll have on a deeper dive this week as well. I'm sorry, on our after hour show this week as well, about how that next tier kind of pans out. I do think Amon-Ra St. Brown belongs up in that top like four guys. So I do think that's a level of a difference. And again, now you're going from what a fourth round. I think we settled on it's a fourth round pick, something like that. I don't know. My math's a little off. My writing, I can't even read my legal pad at this point. But say it's a fourth round pick up to a first round pick, like you would make that, you would in a startup draft, you would do that. You know what I mean? So that's a deal that you could do and you would do, and it would be priced right. Like, so I'd be more apt to think about it along those lines.
Yep. And we mentioned it through a couple times. Again, if you want to support this show, we have a channel on Patreon of premium content here. So you get the free show. Thank you so much for listening. Always helps for our numbers as well as for rating and reviewing us on whatever platform you listen. But the premium side is that patreon.com/dynastythinktank. We have at least a couple of shows every week. Sometimes in the season, you get three shows a week, you know, something coming out on a Friday, Saturday as well. So you get a lot more content, and we go deep. That's why we call it Deeper Dive. We call it Action After Hours. So you get a lot of different topics that we cover, and not so, you know, in terms of the different segments as you get traditionally in this weekly show. So thank you so much for supporting us in whatever way you can and feel is warranted. So that'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Chad Parsons NFL and at McNamara Dynasty. Plus, we have our own Dynasty content streams. Jordan over there at analyticsofdynasty.com. I'm at uthdynasty.com. As always, unlock your ceiling and seek elite results.